Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's December 20th. Almost the end of the year. The message this morning is glory to God. We've been singing some Christmas hymns this morning, being December 20th, the last Sunday before Christmas. And pretty much most of the people, or many ministers, are going to be preaching the same text that I'm preaching this morning. We're reading to you, but y'all know me, you know I'm a little different. So once I get through that, I'm going to take a detour. Anybody surprised by that? Praise the Lord. Luke 2, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The message today is talking about glorifying God. Here the angels, we know at the birth of Jesus, was fulfillment of a prophecy. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. The angels came and said, God kept his word. This has happened. And they were glorifying God. And the shepherds went to see this child. And when they left, they were glorifying God because God is keeping his word. God is doing the things he said he was going to do. God is being faithful in all his ways. My question for each and every one of us, has God been faithful in our lives? Yes, he has. Anyone can say God was not faithful. I wouldn't advise saying it even if you want to be to try to get away with it. But God is faithful in all of his ways. And God keeping his word, God doing the things he's declared he's going to do, is worthy of praise. We should be glorifying God in all of our situations, doesn't matter what they are. Because God has been faithful each and every day. The birth of Jesus was prophesied, way back in Genesis, back in the garden before they got kicked out. There was a prophecy of Jesus then. There's prophecies of Jesus all through the Old Testament talking about him. There's types and shadows and foreshadowings and all the other fancy words people want to use, references pointing to this coming Messiah, pointing to this King of Kings, pointing to this suffering servant, pointing to Jesus all through Scripture. And God is faithful. He's been faithful in all of his ways. We talked the other day. Yeah. We talked the other day, sometime in the last, 20 years, probably in the last 2 weeks. But we talked the other day about taking a look at the genealogy of Jesus, whether you look in Matthew or you look in Luke. Take a look at some of those people in the genealogy of Jesus. God can use anybody. If God can use a donkey to rebuke a prophet, if God can use a pagan king to encourage a prophet, who can't God use? And as God is showing himself mighty in our lives, we should be glorifying and praising God. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11, sometime after Jesus' birth. Now, as it happened, as he, that is Jesus, went to Jerusalem, as he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found any to return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." How often do we neglect to praise God when God has shown himself faithful, when God has done wondrous things in our life, and expect someone else will do it? Here is this person who, we know from Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, who said, "You say we should worship in Jerusalem, but our fathers say to worship in this mountain." And Jesus says the time is coming when those who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's not a matter of a location where you are. It's a matter of where your heart is in reference to giving praise to God. I had a phone call from Daryl yesterday. Daryl is in the hospital. Daryl has congestive heart failure. He's had that for quite some time. He has had 2 strokes in the last week. And Daryl called, and among the things he said was, "I am grateful for breath. I am grateful that I'm alive. I am grateful that I can speak. In the midst of this, I was able to talk to somebody who we hadn't been on speaking terms in years, and were able to sit there and reconcile our differences. I am grateful that God has his hand on me." Here is the man who is in the hospital, has lost a good portion of his eyesight, has, he can't sing, he can't do much of anything. His breathing is very labored. He's just had 2 strokes, and he is praising God because God is still at work in his life. And before we got off the phone, I prayed with him for a while. Before he got off the phone, he said, "I want you to tell everybody that I'm grateful for what God is doing in my life. I am grateful that God is still at work. And I intend to get out of here, and I intend to stand on my own 2 feet, and I intend to give praise to God in public." Do we praise God no matter what our circumstances are? I like to think we do. I like to think I do. But honestly, there's times I forget. There's times I get so wrapped up in what's going on in my own life, I don't recognize the wondrous things that God has done. And I don't remember to give God praise for things he's already done in my life. You've heard my bits and pieces of my testimony, if not the whole thing. Some of the things God has done in my life. There should never be a moment when I am not praising God. And it's the same is true for each and every one of us. There should never be a moment when we are not giving glory to God. We're called to give him the praise. He is worthy of our praise. He has shown himself faithful in every way in our lives. Romans 4, beginning with verse 19, says, "Not being weak in the faith, he did not consider it. He did not consider his own body," talking about Abraham, "already dead, since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do we trust that God is going to do the things he said he's going to do? Talks about Abraham here, the father of righteousness. He said it didn't matter that his body was about 100 years old, that Sarah was 90 years old. It didn't matter. He trusted that God was going to be able to do what God said he was going to do. Do we trust that God has us engraved in the palm of our hands, that even when things come into our life that are difficult, painful, emotionally devastating, even when things come into our lives that we can't understand, do we trust that God is still in control? Do we give glory to God no matter what our circumstances are? Does anybody remember, anybody know what the sin of Achan is? A couple of nods. So, in the book of Joshua, at the Lord's leading, has come. God stopped the Jordan River, and the whole nation of Israel came across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The very first place they come up to is Jericho. God tells them how to defeat Jericho, march around it 6 days without saying a word. The seventh day, you're going to walk around it 7 times. On the seventh time, you're going to let out a shout because God has given you the city. The walls of the city came down. They defeated him. God said, don't take anything. Destroy everything. After this great battle, and God made them victorious, they come up to the next little outpost, and it's just this dinky little place called Ai. And they said, there's no need for the whole army to go. We'll just send a few people up. So, all confident, God's been with us. God's going to take care of us. And they go into battle against Ai, and the few people that are there whoop them and send them running. And Joshua cries out before the Lord, God, why did you allow us to win in Jericho and then allow us to be defeated here? And God told Joshua, get up. The problem is there's sin in the camp. And they began casting lots, trying to figure out who had sinned and what the issue was. And they started by tribe, and they narrowed it down. And then they started by families within the tribe. And then they narrowed it down, and they got within the family, and they started breaking it down by subfamilies until they finally came to Achan. And that's who the lot landed on. That's where God was pointing. And Joshua said, give glory to God and confess what you have done. Even when God has said, you're the one at fault. This is on you. The instruction was, give glory to God because God is still faithful. In Exodus 14, Exodus 14, 17, God says, I will indeed harden the hearts of the Egyptians, they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his armies, his chariots and his horsemen. We know that the army of Pharaoh was destroyed when they tried following the children of Israel through the parted Red Sea, and the Red Sea closed in on them. You know, they've found chariots and all that kind of stuff at the bottom of the Red Sea. You know that, right? Whole bunches of them. But as God told, sent Moses to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. No, not going to do it. Who is this God of yours that I should listen to him? And God says, I will get me honor on Pharaoh. I'm here to tell you people, God is worthy of glory and honor each and every day. God has shown himself faithful each and every day. And I don't want to be like Achan, and I certainly don't want to be like Pharaoh of refusing to give honor and glory to God, because he is worthy of all of our praise. God has kept his word in each and every situation, in each and every circumstance. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows our end from our beginning. He directs our steps. Every time we think upon his name, it's written in the book. God is paying attention to what goes on in our life. And he loves us, and his arms are outstretched. Give him glory and praise. in John 9, beginning with verse 3. What's that? Verse 1. I'll get to verse 3 in a minute. John 9, beginning with verse 1. Says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him.'" Each and every one of us are created to demonstrate the glory of God, to demonstrate the works of God. This man was born blind, and in that manner, Jesus was able to heal him and to reveal the works of God. But each and every one of us, whether we're healthy or not, whether we're smart or not, whether we're tall or not, whether whatever our circumstances, regardless of our financial situation, regardless of our upbringing, regardless of our health, each and every one of us, God has formed us for His purpose. And in His purpose is to give glory to His name. Just as this man who was born blind, it wasn't anybody's fault, but God is doing something. Each and every one of us, it's not whatever happened to us, or it's not whatever we decided to do, but God is at work to touch us, to draw us, to use us, to give glory to His name. In Ecclesiastes, last chapter, Solomon says, let us hear the whole end of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Everything we have, everything we are, our goal, our drive should be to bring glory and honor to God in everything that we do. I don't know about you. I fall short of that. Not daily, like moment by moment, more like. But I fall short of that. But I recognize that that is the goal. That is the purpose. That is the call on each and every one of our lives, to give glory to God. Even as Joshua told Achan, give glory to God, confess what you have done. As God said, I will get me honor on Pharaoh. This man born blind was born so that the works of God could be made manifest in him. Our lives are to be an open book to the people around us, that people may see God working in us, the good deeds that we do, that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. If we're trying to get our own praise and our own honor and our own status, we're missing the point. Our lives are bought with a price. Jesus died on a cross and paid the price for your sin and mine. Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by grace of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said, I am not my own. I am bought with a price. And he recognized it. Where he said that, talking about Jesus, he said that for the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame, and said in our own stakes that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. And God still has a plan and purpose so much better than we can ever imagine. It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things the Lord has prepared for them who love Him. Final passage. John 8, beginning with verse 28. Then Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you may know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. And the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. And as He spake these words, many believe Him. Jesus said, I do only the things that please my Father. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, says in Isaiah. We look at our circumstances, we try to say, how is this fair that I have to go through such and such a thing? If we truly believe we are bought with a price, if we truly believe that God loves us and is at work in us, and that has a plan and purpose for our lives, and our lives are to bring glory to God, our circumstances are not an excuse for not doing what God has called us to do. Jesus said, when he was praying in the garden, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. It is for this purpose I came to this hour. Jesus knew what was coming and chose to be obedient to the Father. He said, not my will, but your will be done. Do we pray that in our lives? Do we trust that God is at work even when our circumstances are difficult, even when our circumstances are painful? Do we trust that no matter what is going on, God deserves the glory in our lives? Just as the angels came there in Luke 2 and talked about how you're going to find the babe, you're going to find this promised Messiah, you're going to find this coming King that has been prophesied and testified all through. God has kept His word. Give glory to God in the highest. God has kept His word in your life. God has shown Himself mighty in your life. You are breathing air. You are vertical. We are able to stand. We are able to walk. We are able to do what God has called us to do. And it doesn't mean we do it without pain. It doesn't mean we do it without difficulties. It means that God is still at work. And God has shown Himself faithful. And God is worthy of our praise. You give glory to God in every situation. Praise the Lord. Father, we do give You glory and honor and praise. We recognize, Lord, Your grace and mercy. We recognize, Father, that You have us in the palm of Your hands, that You are at work in our hearts and in our lives, that You draw us by Your Spirit, that You cleanse us, that You purge us, that You correct us, that You guide us. Lord, and You bring us into circumstances sometimes that we don't know how in the world we got there or how we're going to get out. But we know, Father, that You are still faithful and You are still at work, and we give thanks for that. We recognize, Lord, that You are worthy of our praise. You have always been faithful. You have always been right on. You have always done those things that You said You would do. You have always shown Yourself to be truthful. And we give honor and praise and thanks that no matter what's happening, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter the things that we face, You are still God and God alone. You are the one who breaks our chains. You are the one who heals our sicknesses. You are the one who mends our broken bones. You are the one, Father, who restores our life from destruction. You are worthy of our praise. Amen. Praise the Lord.